We have been in a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we've got a bunch of things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that we've covered. And these are very countercultural things. These are things that if these are things that you possess in your life, you may be in the minimum. Does that make sense? You're kind of swimming upstream. It reminds me of a story about a woman who got home from work before her husband. They were a little bit older in life, and she turned on the news, was waiting for him to come in, and saw on the news where they had a special report about a guy in the wrong lane going on the interstate, going the wrong direction. And she said, "Oh, my husband will never see that guy. His eyesight is bad, and I need to call him and tell him he needs to watch out. That's his road he travels." She called him and said, "Honey, there is an idiot driving on the road in the wrong direction, and you need to watch out." And the guy said, "One idiot? There's like hundreds of them, you know?" In life, that's how it's going to be. When you're doing what is right with the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes you may feel like everybody's going in the opposite direction. Today, we are going to talk about faithfulness and what that means and what God expects that from us and why we need to be faithful and kind of what that looks like. Our text that we have used throughout the series is from Galatians chapter 5. If you want to read with me up here, I've had it on the board for you. And it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." These are things you should have as a Christian in your life, and you should have all of them. And it's not a pick and choose. We've talked about that. It is a thing to where these are all part of one singular fruit, and you should have these things. And when we're talking faithfulness, it's our seventh on the list, and it deals with loyalty and trustworthiness in both word and in life, in actions and things that are said. And sometimes when we think about faithfulness, the word old oftentimes comes with faithfulness. We talk about old faithful, right? Or my old faithful yellow dog that I got, my yellow lab that I've had forever, or whatever it is. You know, we talk about old Larry. You know, he's been faithful at work for 45 years. And faithful sometimes is a word we use when we think of somebody that's done something for a long time. But I want you to understand, faithful means reliable. It means consistent. It means trustworthy. It means dependable. And sometimes we look at faithful and we think, well, it means we're supposed to be full of faith. And that's really not. Although God wants you to be full of faith, that's not what this word is talking about today that we're going to look at. So I want to share with you about three or four points dealing with why do we need to be faithful? Why is that so important to us? And right off the bat, you need to understand you need to be faithful because God is faithful. And you've been created in His image. You are expected to be like your Creator. You should be faithful because God is faithful. God is a faithful God, and I love this about Him. Psalm 33, verse 4 says, "He is faithful in all that He does." And I want you to think just through all the texts. I only picked out about five, but you could come up with just dozens and dozens of texts that talk about God's faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah, or better known as Abram and Sarah, in those days when He said, "You're going to be a father, you're going to be a mother, I'm going to give you a son." And God was faithful to that. He told him, "I'm going to give you a land, and your seed is going to bless all nations. You're going to have descendants everywhere." God was faithful to those things. Over and over and over, God makes a promise, and He stands by those things. He has put a rainbow in the sky to remind us and to tell Noah, "I will never flood the earth again with water." And He's remained faithful to that. To King David, He said, "You're going to be king someday." And God was faithful to that. To Mary and Joseph, He said, "You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he is going to be very special." And God was faithful to that. And even to us, over and over, God has given us promise after promise that he's been faithful to. Maybe the biggest and best was the fact before even the creation of the world, God said, I'm going to save my people. I'm going to figure out a way to get my people back into a relationship with me when sin shows up. And he sent his son and did that. God is faithful, and we need to be faithful. The second reason you need to be faithful is because God rewards faithfulness. God loves it when we're faithful, and he rewards that. He goes, I like faithful people. And we like faithful people, don't we? Especially if you're an employer, you like faithful people. If you're a teacher, you love faithful students. But God rewards faithfulness. James chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, blessed are those who remain faithful under trials, James will say. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, or the bags of gold, if you remember, one got five, one got three, one got one, and the two that went out and multiplied what they've got, God said, do you remember? Well done, good and faithful servant. God always rewards faithfulness. And on judgment, it'll be the same. Someday we'll stand before God and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, if we have been faithful in that. Faithfulness just makes life better. It does, whether you're the teacher who has faithful students that show up or the employer that has faithful employees that show up. Faithfulness just makes life better. Working with unfaithful people, people who don't keep their word or their promises, is frustrating. Spending time with people that you can't count on can drive you crazy sometimes. We want to be around consistent people, not inconsistent people. Fourth thing that I want you to catch is faithfulness is what God wants for his children. It's just simply, he goes, this is what I want you to be. And he wants it so much that he said, I'm going to send my spirit into their life to help produce this. They will work with my spirit to produce faithfulness over time. And I think that's something that we need. And what does faithfulness look like? This is where we're going to spend the last few minutes of our lesson this morning. What does faithfulness look like? Under this point number four, I want to give you three or four ideas. So you can kind of go, if you're like me, I want to know what is faithfulness and am I being faithful? What does that look like? I want something that I can look at and go, okay, I'm doing pretty good here. Ooh, I'm struggling. I need to pick up the ball on this one. So here are some ways that you can look at that God has said, this is areas I want you to be faithful in. So the first one is keep your promises. We need to be people who keep our promises. When we tell someone we're going to be there, we need to show up. When we tell someone you can count on me, we need to do that. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25 says, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly only later to reconsider his vows. We want to be people of our word to our children, to our family, in our workplace, to our boss. You know, I learned as a new father years ago that sometimes this is tough with kids. Because kids don't always understand at a young age what maybe or later means. Have you ever noticed that? You drive by Six Flags and your kids look outside and they see it and they go, oh, we want to go. And you tell them, we're going to later, maybe someday. And to kids, that means tomorrow we're going to Six Flags. And you get that, right? And so they wake up, is today the day we're going? I didn't say we were going today. I said later. The next day they wake up, is today we're going to Six Flags? And they will remind it. You'll be reminded of it every day until you take them. So you learn, even from a young age, when they're little, be cautious about the way you say things so it doesn't look like you're inconsistent on your promises. And so we get that. And when you have small children, sometimes you have to understand about using caution when making promises. Be a person of your word. I love hearing people go, I would trust that person with my life. You ever heard that phrase? That just means that person is a trustworthy. That person is something that we should strive for. People who say, I'll do that and don't do it, it's frustrating. Jesus tells a story in the Sermon on the Mount about people. He's explaining being people of your words. He goes, when you make a promise, when you make a vow, don't vow on heaven or on Jerusalem. Don't vow on this or that, or today we go on my mother's grave, or don't swear on these things. He said, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. He said, just be a person of your word, to where if you say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And if you say it's not going to happen, it's not. You don't have to do all this. I promise this and I promise that on this and on that. Be a person of your promise. So I wanted to include a story today for our younger ones. There'll be a lot in the second service, but there'll be some here in this service as well, about a book that I read to my grandkids called Sully the Seagull. You can watch it on YouTube. Pretty cute book if you want to watch it. Sully the Seagull, his job was to, and this is him looking at you right here. His job was to let the other seagulls know when the big wave was coming, because when the big wave was coming, about one every 10 waves, they'd fly up into the tree so that they all wouldn't get wet and spend the day having to dry out their feathers instead of eating food that the wave has washed out. And so his job was very simple. He would just go, big wave, run or fly, and they would fly up into the tree. And that was his job, and he did his job so well, and he was so faithful with it. But one day he got to thinking, how fun would it be to play a trick on my friends? And so he came along and he said, hey, big wave, big wave. And they all left the food that they were working on the little beach and flew up in the tree. And they looked around and there wasn't a big wave. And he goes, I'm just kidding. I got all of you, didn't I? And they were a little put out at him, but, you know, they went back down and started working in the sand and everything else. And a little while later, Sully did the same thing. Tricked him again. Got back up in the tree. There wasn't a big wave. He thought that was so funny. So the third time when they get down in the sand and they're eating and they're working, trying to get their food, and Sully's supposed to be watching, big wave comes. And he goes, it's a big wave, come. And nobody moves. And he goes, I promise it's a big wave, you got to fly. And nobody moves. And the water comes and he washes up over all the seagulls. They all get wet. They have to spend the next couple of hours kind of get drying out instead of looking for food. And Sully's kind of going, what's going on? Why didn't you listen to what I said? And they said, Sully, your promises are weak. You don't have strong promises anymore. And I thought, how good is that to teach our young people from a young age? Hey, you, when you say something, you got to follow through. And if you consistently don't do what you say, you'll have weak promises. Don't be a Sully that has weak promises. Look at the second thing on our list today. Stand by your friends. Stand by your friends. I think it's so important that we do this, that we become people who stand by our friends. Proverbs 27 and verse 10 says, do not forsake your friends and the friends of your father. Be a good friend. Sometimes being a good friend means that I'm going to be there when things are fun, and I'm also going to be there when things get tough. Sometimes being a good friend means I'm not going to just be a yes man that tells my friend everything they want to hear. Sometimes I have to be the guy that goes, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing that. I know I want friends like that in my world who will kind of sometimes go, hey, have you thought about this? You may be doing this wrong. That's a friend. That's the kind of friend we all need. And you need to be one of those people who stand by your friends in good times and in bad. Third way is honor your marriage. Honor your marriage. I love Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, where we're told the marriage and the marriage bed should be honored by all. You know, when I made a commitment, a covenant to love my wife and be married to my wife, I not only promised her that, but I also made a promise to God. It was not just a promise to her, but a promise to God. So every day I get up knowing I've promised you I'll be faithful to you, but I've also told God I'd be faithful. And God holds me to that promise. He wants me to be faithful to that promise. That is a covenant that I've not only made with my wife, but it's also a covenant that I have made with God. I want to be pure in my thoughts. I want to be pure in my heart, in my life. Those are things that are very, very important. I don't want to be a person that is married that acts single And what I mean by that is, you know, one of those people that you meet and you have no idea that they're married because whether they don't wear a wedding ring, and some people can't wear a wedding ring. Maybe theirs isn't the right size anymore, or maybe their job doesn't provide it, say you can. But whatever it is, I don't want to be one of those people who go, oh, I didn't even know you were married. I want to be one of those people that talk about my spouse, that will tell folks I'm happily married. One of those people that doesn't pretend to be single even when they're married. That's called honoring your marriage, honoring the vows that you made. And in sometimes in life, we tend to think that being unfaithful to our spouse is when we flirt or touch someone that we're not married to, someone other than our spouse. I want to remind you that you can simply be unfaithful to that covenant you've made when you're doing things on your phone or on a computer or somewhere else that you're hiding from your spouse that you shouldn't be doing, texting someone of the opposite sex or having conversations with someone that you're not married to. And I know that sounds a little harsh this morning, but I just want to say, hey, God has said you honor your marriage. And I don't want in any form or fashion anybody to ever be able to go, Trey has not honored his marriage. And I want the same said for you, that we are people who honor the covenant that we have made, not only with our spouse, but also with God. And I'll remind you as a single person, if you're here, if you're not ready to take those steps and be all in on marriage, you're not ready to be married, okay? And that's not a hard thing to say. It's just one of those things that, hey, your marriage and your spouse come first only after God. Number four on your list that we'll talk about is work hard. Work hard. You probably studied in Colossians and back in Ephesians when we did, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as though you're working for God, not man. Be a hard worker. Be a good worker. Employees love it. Be a person that goes above and beyond. Be a person that does things that doesn't have to ask to be done. Be willing to be a hard worker. Work hard. That's so important that we do that. My wife and I were down at a place called Triple J's. Y'all probably know that downtown. We were just eating supper down there one night, and we were sitting waiting on a table, and they have this little corner that you round. I got to notice it because we were sitting right in front of it. Little corner where all the waiters and waitresses come and go, and it's a blind corner. And so when they round the corner, they go corner so that they don't crash into the next guy. And they have a little mirror that they watch. But somebody trying to, I mean, it was busy, and they were working hard. Somebody made that corner a little fast and kind of dodged and spilt some ranch dressing over on the floor. And I told Lee, I said, man, that's a disaster looking to happen, you know, when somebody comes around the corner in a minute and steps on that and slips with a load full of dishes or plates or whatever it is. And for about 3 minutes, everybody walked by. They saw it. They just walked by and would walk around it, and nobody would pick it up. And then there was one guy who come in, and he walked around it, took some food, came back, showed up, had a rag, and wiped it up. Wasn't the guy that spilled it. But I remember telling Lee, that's the guy that the employer wants. The guy that didn't have to be asked to clean it up, just looked and thought, there's a mess and somebody needs to get this done. And he was happy to do it. You know, you look at people like that. We want to be people who work hard to go above and beyond. And I think that's important that we do that. Number five on our list, if you want to look and be faithful like God wants us to be, I think managing your money falls under this category. The way we handle our money, the way we handle spending, the way we handle saving, the way we handle giving. Luke 16:11. A lot of folks don't understand this verse. Luke 16:11 says, if you have not been trustworthy with worldly wealth, who can trust you with true riches? God is not going to give you more if you can't handle what you got now. And so the questions that I always ask when I think about money and am I handling money well, I've actually added those on your little handout this morning. The four questions I always have to ask myself is, number one, is my first initial thing when I get a check or I get paid, is my first initial fruit that of giving? Do I have that first fruit of initial giving? Do I look and go, instead of going, what can I buy? What can I pay off on bills? Is my first thought, what am I going to give to the Lord? Because that's what it should be. My first thought is, what out of this belongs to God? And so every time I get paid, my first thought is, what are we going to pay? And what am I going to give back to the Lord? The second thing that I want to ask is, am I faithful with my financial commitments? The people I've promised to pay, have I paid those? Because I can promise you When you write your name at the bottom of the check saying that there's money in the bank to cover this, God expects that. When you sign your name at the bottom of the loan saying, I'm going to repay this, God expects you to repay that. Because that's called faithfulness. That's called a commitment of something you said you would do. The third thing, am I spending on what I need to spending on? Am I buying what? Am I just being responsible with my spending? Am I spending stuff on lotto tickets that I need to be buying school clothes? Am I spending stuff on myself when I want to upgrade the stereo in my vehicle instead of buying something that our family actually needs? And so I have to ask myself, am I spending the way that's wise here? And then compared to my giving and my spending to my savings, is that in balance? Am I prepared for saving? Because the Lord does talk about the importance of, hey, you can't just be a person that never saves anything that you've got to prepare. So am I being prepared? Am I using my money wisely? Am I being faithful with my money? And if you can't answer these things, maybe that's an area you need to work on. Look at our fifth thing down here. Actually, we're at number six. I want to encourage you to commit to being involved with the church. It's a way of being faithful. I want to challenge you to use your talent. Everybody's got a talent. Some of you got more than one talent. But I want to challenge you to use your talent to bless the Lord's kingdom. If you're not, you're not using the talent God has given you. And that's not good. Don't be the guy that goes and buries it in the sand and goes, here, Lord, here's this. God wasn't real pleased with that servant. It wasn't well done, good and faithful servant. So take whatever talent God has given you, and every person's got a talent, and use it to bless God's kingdom. Use it to bless the church. I think one of the best things you can do in being a person who is involved with the church and encourages the church is to be an encourager for the church. God's church has enough critics. What God's church needs are more cheerleaders. Does that make sense? Now, that means that there are times where you may go, hey, is this something we need to do and I need to speak up? Yeah, do that. But if all you ever do is criticize, then something's not right. You don't have a spirit of discernment. You have a spirit of discouragement. If the only thing you ever do is criticize what you don't like and what you don't see, you do need to go dig a hole and bury that talent in there, because that's nothing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Be a person who encourages and builds up one another and the church, not a person who's just always looking for what I don't like. So those are all ways that we can be more faithful when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. So I ask yourself, because I ask myself, am I being faithful like God would want me to be? And when I look at love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness, am I being what God wants me to be? God is faithful. He is faithful in His word. He is faithful in His action and in all that He does. And then He goes, let us make God in our image. Let us make man in our image. We want to be like God in that faithfulness. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you would like us to pray for you, we'd be more than happy to pray for you as a congregation. We'd be more happy to pray with you privately down front if you'd like, or after services if you've got a prayer request. But if you want to come during this song, you can. And if you're ready to be put on Christ in baptism, to give Him your life, if you've never done that and confessed Him as Lord, good day to do those things. If you want to know more about that, we'd love to visit with you. But if you have a need that we can help you with, would you come as we stand and sing this song?